7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Hello, monkeys. Monkey Dan here. Welcome to the Live Wild or Die podcast. And this episode, I'm recording about 48 hours post Grand Canyon rim to rim to rim Misogi. And I'm super psyched to say I completed it. I didn't roll my ankle a half mile into the 50 plus mile adventure. So glad to get that done. And I appreciate the words of encouragement. A lot of you guys were very encouraging and motivating after the last couple episodes where I had the pre-Misogi episode where I was really psyched, and then the post-Misogi injury episode where I was not so psyched. So yeah, I appreciate you guys sending the monkey love and sending me out there with the good vibes. So like I said, I'm about 48 hours post Misogi, and I'm definitely super fatigued. I'm super tired, so I apologize if I'm not quite as coherent and a little rambly. So thanks for hanging in there with me. If you guys have questions, if you're interested in doing something like this, happy to answer any questions. And as always, I appreciate you guys listening. So let's get on with the episode. Hello, monkeys, and welcome to the Live Wild or Die podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Dan. And this episode is part 3 of the Misogi series that I've been doing. So the first two episodes, I did a pre-Grand Canyon Misogi, talking about just kind of the build-up to it, the training. Part 2 was the post. And for those of you that didn't hear that episode, I actually rolled my ankle like, I don't know, a half mile into a 52-mile run. So unfortunately, I didn't get to put all that training to use, and that was about 3 weeks ago. But I'm happy to say that I just returned from the Grand Canyon, and I'm recording this a few days after, but the actual Grand Canyon, it's called the Grand Canyon Rim to Rim to Rim is what I was doing. So my watch said it was 26 miles from the south rim to the north rim, and then you turn around and run back. So according to my watch, it's about 52 miles. And, you know, I didn't look at the elevation gain, but I think it's probably between 10 and 12,000 feet of elevation gain. So that means both up and down. So you're going up 12,000 feet and you're also going down 12,000 feet. So huge, huge challenge for me, and I'm really happy to say that I completed it. So this was, I did the actual run on May 13th, which was this past Monday, May 13th, 2019. So met a buddy in Tusayan, which is a town right outside of the Grand Canyon. We got up at 2 a.m. We were on the trail about 2:55 a.m. And we limped to the top it was 8:45 p.m. that same night. So it was about a 17-hour and 45-minute day. And you can probably hear the fatigue in my voice. My energy is just drained. And, you know, I'm really fortunate that, you know, my joints, that was what I was most concerned about, knees, ankles, hips, all that. My joints felt great. So my training, I think, worked out really well for this particular Misogi challenge. And, you know, I'm not that sore either. I'm definitely stiff, but it's not that bad. No, it's, I think, one, I used hiking poles, which helps a ton, especially on the downhill. So when you're going down, I think going down hurts more than going up from like a just muscle tissue damage and pain perspective. So when you use poles, you can significantly reduce the load on your knees and your quads. So you get way less of that eccentric load, which is length when a muscle lengthens while it's contracting. So that really breaks things down a lot more versus like concentric, which is think like stepping, going upstairs or something. So it's hard, but it just doesn't break the muscle down as much, or it's not as damaging, I should say. So I used poles, which were a huge help. I probably drank at least like 10 liters of water, but I'm kind of all over the place. I've got post canyon head right now. So back to kind of the linear story. So we started at 3 a.m. We got down to the bottom just as the sun was rising. It was awesome. Flew down there. Felt great. Crossed the river. There's this cool bridge. And then we got to a place called Phantom Ranch, which is this cool, it's like this cluster of kind of cabins down at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. You can rent them. I think there's like a 19-month waiting list. But super cool place. Highly recommended if you can make it down there. So we get to Phantom Ranch, we refill on water, and then my buddy Chad, got a shout out to Chad. Thank you for coming. He actually did this, he did the whole thing like 3 weeks ago and was kind enough to meet me there again 3 weeks later and help me through my attempt. So thank you again, Chad. Much appreciated, Masogi brother. So he was going to do the whole thing again. So he waited at Phantom Ranch. And so from there, from Phantom Ranch to the North Rim, is 13 miles. So where we split ways, or was he was going to wait. It's a marathon for me basically. So I had to run 13 miles to the North Rim, turn around, come 13 miles back to Phantom. And then from there, we still had to cross the river and then go all the way back up to the South Rim. So I took off on my own, felt really good. I was in the shade most of the morning, felt great. And then that final climb up to the South Rim just crushed me. The sun was coming up. I ran out of water. It was hot. I think even the elevation was a factor as well. But thank goodness I got to the top and there was water right where you stop and turn around. So was able to cool off, drink a bunch of water, ate food. I kind of hung out there for maybe 30, 40 minutes, just kind of had to gather myself a little bit. And, you know, at that point, so that's a halfway point. So 26 miles, according to my watch again. Could be different depending. I have to look at a map, but 26 miles was what my watch said. And so that meant I had basically a marathon back to finish. And, I wasn't feeling super good at that point, to be honest. And I was considering how hot I'd felt going up, and it was only like 10 in the morning. I was starting to really get a little nervous about how the heat was going to affect me as you get lower. So the North Rim's at maybe 8,200 feet, it's over 8,000 feet. And then you go all the way down to 2,000 feet. So that's a huge elevation change. And there's also a huge temperature fluctuation as well. So I was nervous if it was like 100 degrees, how I would handle that. But as soon as I got some good water and I ate a bunch of food, felt way better. And going down the North Rim felt great. And so once you get down, you drop most of your elevation pretty quickly. And then you have kind of a gentle descent into Phantom Ranch. And I felt good until like the last maybe 5 miles, and just, it was probably low 90s. You're just in the sun. There's no wind. You're in this like gradually narrowing canyon. And it's like torture in a way, because there's a creek right next to you with like ice cold water. But the problem is it's not super easy to get to. It's not impossible, but it's not super easy to get to. And when you're like, you know, over 30 miles into a 52 mile run, the last thing you want to do is like scramble down this kind of loose rock to try and get water. So I basically what I did was I just kept a buff around my neck, and I would soak that in water at the most convenient and most energy efficient place to get down to the little creek. I'd basically just soak my head, my shirt, this buff around my neck with water. Then I'd go till it dried, and then once the next convenient spot popped up, I would re-soak myself, which that really helped just stand wet. And once I was in what's called the box, it's maybe 4 or 5 miles to Phantom Ranch from there. It gets real narrow, and you're kind of constantly going between the sun and the shade. So I would kind of run quickly through the sun and then enjoy the shade, or kind of take my time through the shade. And that helped quite a bit, but it was right at that threshold where if it was much hotter, it would have been not, I actually felt pretty good, but it would have hurt. So, excuse me, I finally got back to Phantom Ranch, met Chad. It was probably close to 4 in the afternoon at that point. And that's the low point, basically, as far as elevation. So you're at the lowest point. You've got basically 10 miles and 5,000 feet of elevation gain out of the canyon. And so we hung out at the ranch for a bit. This very generous couple lended me a salt tablet, which was also very beneficial. Ate a bunch of food, and then we pretty much hiked the rest of the way out. There's no way running uphill after all that. So from Phantom, we just kind of tried to keep moving as best we could, took a few breaks, and finally got to the south rim where we started at 8:45 p.m. back to the Bright Angel Trailhead. So it was for sure a Misogi, and definitely has opened my eyes to what's possible. And it was also a good kind of validation of training and, you know, specifically not doing too much. I think, you know, in years past, I've certainly overtrained for sure for these type of endurance events, but it depends on your goal. I think if you want to do things like this and just complete it, I don't think you need to train nearly as much. Well, obviously you don't need to train nearly as much if you're just going for completion versus if you're trying to like race or go for some super fast time. If you just want to do these big challenges and have big days, you can do them, and you definitely need to train, but you can train in a way where you're not breaking your body down and you're staying within this like health spectrum versus, you know, doing these super extreme challenges. They're not necessarily healthy. Although I'd argue, you know, it is also a frequency thing as well. So I think doing something like this Grand Canyon rim to rim to rim, I think something like that is definitely healthy to do every once in a while. I think if it's like your regular thing, then I don't know, something to consider. Also depends on, you know, just your biology. But my training, I think, was really on spot for this. And the one thing I changed from years past when I've done long trail runs is instead of doing like these super long training runs, what I did was like a cluster. So instead of doing like, you know, 25 miles in one day, I did 40 miles over 3 days. So I did, I think it was a 15 mile day and then a 14 mile day. So what's that? 29 and then an 11 mile day. And, you know, that 15 to kind of 18 mileage marker, basically sub 20 for me, you know, I can do it and just, it's relatively quick. Well, relatively is 5 or 6 hours. And keep in mind, that's running mountains basically out here. But, so it's not, you know, this total all day thing. It's like a half day and you're just not totally wasted after it. You know, you can have basically a competent conversation at dinner and not just be totally out of it, you know, after those type of runs. So again, I switched to more of this cluster training to gather the mileage versus doing just these huge long runs. And I think that helped just avoid that chronic breakdown. So the distances were short enough that I was able to recover and then do it again versus if I'd pushed it beyond that, I might not have recovered as well. And I also did strength training and of course, plenty of monkey training basically every day, to be honest. And I focused a lot on core stability training. So a lot more kind of plank type exercise versus like doing a lot of flexion. Think of like a tuck or a pike. I still certainly did exercises like that, but I really focused more on plank exercises. My favorite is it's 5 minutes total. You do 45 seconds with you. So you put your feet in the straps, pocket monkey, monkey bars too. Put your feet in the straps. You do a 45 second plank, rest for 15, and you just repeat that five times. So it's 45 seconds on, 15 seconds off. Pretty quick. And you can obviously adjust it. You could do 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off. You could do 20 seconds on, 40 seconds off, whatever you need to do. But the goal would ultimately be to get to a 5 minute plank, which is really hard, really challenging, especially with the straps. But that's kind of how I came up with that protocol. But it's been great, great for this ultra run training. And honestly, reflecting back, what hurt the most, interestingly, was my low back, my lower abs, and then my triceps, kind of just above the elbow. And that's from the pulls and the triceps. And then I think the low back and ab thing is also from the pulls, just from you're doing this mini crunch a lot using the pulls. And then I think my low back, just as I started to fatigue, I was probably hunching a little bit, but pretty much below the waist, I felt great. I kept a decent training journal. I'll have to take a look at that and see if there's any patterns I could pull out for you guys. But yeah, I wanted to record this while it was still relatively fresh in my mind. And gosh, if you haven't been in the Grand Canyon, it is beautiful. And this time of year, it was the cactus were blooming down there. The smells, best smells I've ever experience in my life. Just this like sweet floral kind of grassy smell is awesome. So if you haven't been down there, it's worth just seeing. But if you can actually get down into the canyon, I'd highly recommend it. Don't necessarily have to do the rim to rim. You can actually do you can do just one crossing. So you can go south to north or north to south, and then you could take a bus back to where you started. You could backpack it where you're doing maybe 5 to maybe 10 miles a day, and there's camps along the way. There's water. So there's actually pretty much you're next to water most of the time, which I didn't really realize. So that's super cool there. And yeah, it's an amazing, amazing place. So it's grand. What else? So the Misogi, again, it's supposed to open up your mind to what's possible. So, you know, not that many years ago, if you told me you'll complete 52 miles in a day, I'm not sure I would have been too excited about that, or believed it was possible. But now I'm super psyched, and I know it's possible. So I don't know. Right now, I'm not sure if I really want to push it farther, but it's a good measuring stick to know, okay, what's possible in a day for kind of looking at some other things I'm interested in. So for now, I'm just psyched for summer, for the snow to melt, to get up to the high country, get in some plenty of wild training up in the mountains. I was actually considering just doing like, I don't know, it'd be interesting to do just 3 months of only working out outside. So no matter if I'm at home, I go in the front yard, but no matter what, everything's outside. So obviously use Pocket Monkey, monkey bars, IsoCore, everything. Use rocks, logs. It'd be an interesting experiment. So let me know what you guys think. I've kind of done things like that before when I was a wilderness ranger, but it'd be interesting to try it now that I'm no longer living in the wild. So thanks for listening to this post Misogi episode and my canyon brain speak. But yeah, right now I'm about 48 hours out now. So it's Wednesday. I'm recording this Wednesday evening. Yeah. So I'm about 48 hours out, and, again, the soreness isn't bad. The pain isn't bad at all. It's just, I'm just drained. I'm super tired. And my energy feels at like 60%. So looking forward to enjoying some very deep sleep. That is the benefit of the Misogi in my past experience. The night, it's not so much the night you get done. It's like a few nights later, it's the best sleep of your life. So think of something cool, go do it, and then enjoy that sleep. Thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, if you enjoy these episodes, we would love a review on iTunes. Anywhere from 5 to 5 stars is much appreciated. And yeah, if you have topics you'd like to hear discussed, if you'd like to be on the show, I need to get a better setup, but I'd love to have monkeys on the show and just talk the monkey lifestyle and the monkey state of mind. So stay wild, everyone, and monkey on.